You're listening to a download from the outdoorstation.co.uk. Number 595.
Hello and welcome back to the Outdoors Station and to part two of our Wainwright Coast to Coast adventure, which we completed in May 2025. Throughout this episode, you'll hear us refer to it several times as a national trail, and rightly so, with over 6,000 walkers taking it on each year in all weathers. However, it won't officially gain that title until sometime in 2026. The route is known and loved by people all around the world, as is its creator, Alfred Wainwright. When he first introduced the idea, he encouraged walkers to forge their own path across the country. These days, of course, things are a little more structured, and most follow one of the many guidebooks that outline a common route. In our case, we were using the Cicerone Guide. This episode covers day two and three, the stony path around Ennerdale Water, the long trek up to Black Sail YHA, then the climb up and over Loft Beck, to our final destination that day, the camp at Sea Toller. The next day brought a series of tough ascents and descents to Grasmere, followed by the climb up to Grisdale Tarn, which turned out to be the best camp of the trip. The weather for once was unusually kind. Warm sunshine, mostly dry trails, ideal walking conditions. But as you'll hear later, this part of the world can quickly turn against the unprepared. We'd planned to camp most of the journey where possible, so our packs were heavier than those using a luggage transfer service. Among the extra weight was, of course, our emergency kit, the kind of gear that it's better to have and not need than need and not have. So, day two begins with us leaving the Fox and Hounds a little later than planned, but fairly well rested and ready for the trail ahead.
Well, good morning. Beginning of day two, and we've just left the Fox and Hounds later than we'd hoped, really, at 9 o'clock. But it was a good oasis after a day's exhaustion. We were both on our knees, but by the time we got there last night, and they do have a camping area which they charge £10 per person to use, and it's very small. You'd be lucky to get four solo tents on there, but it's convenient. It's just across the stream from the pub and catches the evening sun, so it's a lovely way to sit and let the sun's rays re-energise your tired and battered body. So we had a meal there last night. I had a huge portion of the steak and Guinness pie, and Rose had, what did you have?
Wensleydale and spinach tart, which is basically a quiche.
Yeah, but they were big portions, weren't they?
Yeah, they were big portions, but Mary Berry wouldn't have been happy. Soggy bottom.
Oh dear, she's never happy when she gets a soggy bottom. Certainly filled up on those. You can get smaller portions. We just took the standard that the normal portion was for adults and the small portion was for kids. But actual fact, the standard portions were massive. But strangely, I did manage to finish it off, so that was good. But the bill, when we left, came to £73, so that was the food, drinks that we had, and obviously the camping.
The toilets were available while the pub was open, so obviously they closed at about 11 o'clock at night, and didn't open again this morning until about 8. So, and obviously no shower or anything, just the use of the toilets.
Which was good to know, but obviously if you need toilet during the night, it's something to be aware of. Now, the one thing I forgot to mention yesterday was, although the weather, it was just like it is today, glorious, beautiful, hardly a cloud in the sky, very pleasant, cool breeze, sunny, finding fresh water was much more of a challenge than I thought. I did think we'd pass by, I don't know, a pub or a group of shops or something, and top up our water supplies from the tap, as it were. We did cross over a couple of small rivers, but obviously due to the nature of the dry weather we've had over the last few weeks, they were very low, and I'm always a little bit suspicious about the water quality because the filters will take away the Giardia and Cryptosporidium, etc., etc., but not chemicals and pesticides. However, we managed with what we'd taken with us in the morning, just. But certainly as the day drew on, very, very thirsty. And even more so when there was nowhere to top up. So today we're continuing on the fine gravel path that's provided for walkers down to Ennerdale Water. And then we circumnavigate around the outside of that, the south side of that, before reaching the Black Sail Youth Hostel, where I believe there's like an honesty system, so you can make yourself a cup of tea there, which will be a good place for a rest before we hit the long climb over the top, aiming for Sea Toller, or a campsite at Sea Toller that we've booked in for tonight. Feeling a little bit more refreshed this morning. How about you, Rose?
It's stiff though. Yeah, stiff.
So we'll check back in a bit later on. We haven't seen anybody else as yet this morning. I think we are probably a bit late on the starting off, but no doubt we'll see somebody at the youth hostel. I thought I'd let you experience the lovely sound of silence here at Ennerdale Water. It's taken us 45 minutes to get here, and over in the distance, just stopped now, there was a cuckoo over on our right hand side. And as we stare out on Ennerdale Water, we've got Ennerdale Fell up on our right hand side, very, very steep fell with a myriad of little paths looking like they could snake their way and zigzag to the top. But the main path that we're looking for is the one on the right hand side down just above the water's edge. And of course, in this lovely, lovely light, the water is shimmering beautifully. Very romantic. Oh, there's a cuckoo again. There, he's flown away some distance away. Dad, you can hear it. And over on the left-hand side, we've got Wild Ennerdale National Nature Reserve, which is a wooded area. And Simon was talking about, there's a suggestion that an alternative path would be to take the north side of the water as a route round. But we're aiming for the Black Sail YHA, which is a surprise actually, because the sign that we've just passed says it's 7.5 miles. When I've been looking at the map, I've been misreading a field centre that's marked on the map, thinking that was the Black Sail YHA, when in fact it's a few more kilometres on. So Rose has taken the wise decision to change out of her long trousers into her short trousers and match me as we catch the cool breeze and the sun's rays as we walk along the side of the water. Apparently there's a scrambling area, Rose reliably informs me. She's read the book this morning, and that at some stage we've got some rocks or some loose shale or whatever to pass, which will be interesting. but I've certainly watched a few videos of people that have walked this, and they just seem to show a bit of video here at the beginning and then video at the end. So we will see what we're faced with as we go along. After yesterday's push, we're not in any great rush. We managed it in time. Yesterday, I think today is 16 miles. And once we've refreshed and had breakfast, because we haven't eaten as yet, at the Black Sail. Oh, there's a cuckoo. Can you hear it? Once we've refreshed at the Black Sail and had some breakfast there, we'll be ready to tackle the rest of the climb over the top and head down towards Sea Toller. I'll fill you in a bit later on as to our progress and if we meet any other walkers en route.
Just to put you in the frame, the Simon that Bob mentioned was the other solo camper who was camping with us at the Fox and Hounds.
Good grief. Ennerdale Water, to my calculations, is just over 4 kilometres long, and it's taken us 2 hours to cover that track. Definitely a game of two halves. First half, shale underfoot, nice easy going, cool breeze, undulating path obviously, but nothing earth-shattering. Then you get to the scramble, the hiatus, as Rose refers to it, which, on a dread day like today, dry, sunny, you can see where other people have been. Involves a bit of a climb up, down, across, through and under. But after that, it is just heavy boulders, or a combination of heavy boulders and large stone, and you really have to watch your footing, very, very careful. Spoke to a handful of people that came past, or we passed, and everybody was saying the same thing. Got to be so careful with the footing. So carrying packs and obviously having poles was a great asset, because at least it could guide you and give you balance. But blimey, that's a very, very long few kilometres. And it's knocked a big hole in our timing today.
Really has. It was, I imagined, foolishly, a gentle stroll along the lake shore, and it wasn't that at all.
We've just bumped into somebody that's, I think, walked the north shore. They're expecting to circumnavigate it on the path. They're not built for walking, shall we say. And they implied that the walk on the north shore was far more acceptable, with lots of benches to sit on and enjoy the view. So if you're thinking of coming this way and want the easy route, try the north route rather than the south route. The other thing I would add is that on a day like today, yes, it was troublesome and hard going, but my goodness me, add some pouring rain and a bit of a wind and it would be really slippy and very, 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 very tough going. No, that'd take you longer than 2 hours. But we were passed by a couple of speedy Americans, the two that we saw yesterday morning. It seemed to be on a mission, and they came hurrying past, very confident in their ambitions. So maybe it's just us.
And they were very young. They are young. And I think they're not camping, are they? So that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, day packs, I think. So anyway, so that 7.5 miles that was mentioned earlier on to the youth hostel. Obviously, now we've got to the end of the lake, puts the youth hostel as our point of contact now for getting a cup of tea and having a good rest. But we've got a good few kilometres to get to before we get to that. So we'll just carry on, but at least we're walking on decent flat path now. Well, we've finally broken free of the tree line on what I have to say is probably the worst, most laborious boring forestry track we've ever walked on. And we've certainly done a few over the years in Scotland. We can see Black Sail Youth Hostel ahead of us. At least I hope it is. And that walk.
Thank God I can see it.
Yeah.
It's taken forever.
5 miles from Ennerdale Water to the youth hostel on an exposed, fairly straight gravel forestry track that is continually on the incline. And I suppose, great, it's on the incline, it's taken a certain amount of pressure off this final push when we push over the top here. But we've been aiming to get to Black Sail, and once again, we thought we'd do it a lot earlier, to have some breakfast. It is now 2 o'clock, and we've done quite well considering all we've had is a bit of dried fruit and the occasional bar. So we are looking forward to the legendary cup of tea that they offer, apparently, or a cold drink or something, but certainly going to have a rest here. And if possible, we've brought some breakfasts in prepared in pouches for us, so we might have a porridge, because we need something substantial to get over the next bit, which, looking ahead, is very steep but very short. That's all I can hope. So we need enough energy to get over the top of that, and then, as they say, it's all downhill, allegedly. But blimey, lovely day, but almost too warm and too hot. And once again, there's only been a few streams to hydrate from, so I'm hoping that we can get some water from the youth hostel, because we've drunk everything that we brought with us so far. But if I stop for a second, hear that silence. That is the silence of the most remote youth hostel in England.
Although Black Sail YHA carries that particular title with pride, the welcome we received from the warden was rather cool. He was busy scurrying about with various chores and seemed determined to ignore both us and our cheerful hellos as we unloaded our packs and made use of the complimentary teas, coffees and biscuits in the Honesty Kitchen. To be fair, though, it must be pretty tiring meeting some 6,000 walkers a year, most of whom probably say the same few things as they pass through. So perhaps I'm being a little harsh. Still, the refreshments were much appreciated, and after a quick cuppa, a rest and a couple of chocolate bars, we set off once again, ready to tackle Loft Beck.
Just have to celebrate moments when they arrive. Still glorious weather, beautiful weather, nice and warm, cool breeze. But we've just tackled the walk up from Black Sail Hut up Loft Beck towards Grey Knots, heading towards Hollister Slate Mine. But that climb was about 300 metres in, looking at the map, 400 metres. So virtually one in one coming up there. And yeah, you certainly know you're doing it, don't you?
Certainly do. I mean, they've done a great job. There's almost like steps with the stones.
Yeah, Fix the Fells charity.
Which has really helped. It's when you hit the shaley bits that you think, oh my gosh. And again, if it was bad weather, it would be another story. There's so many little rivulets that come through, cascading through.
You can just imagine the streams in Spate down there. It would be quite a challenge. So just wanted to celebrate that, really.
Yay!
Yeah, we're almost at the very, very top, and then we turn right and then start our way towards Honister. And I think that deserves a cup of tea at Honister Slate Mine, if it's still open. Mind you, what time is it? Oh, it's 4 o'clock now. It's going to be closed, isn't it?
I was going to say, I think we're closed.
Yeah, everything closes at 4 o'clock around here. Well, we better crack on then, because we've got a campsite to go to.
We have. Shower calls.
Shower, definitely we smell. I smell something terrible. What lovely sound when you get your nest sorted and your camp is up and running. Well, you made it down to Sea Toller Farm campsite eventually. About 6 o'clock I think we got here, and I am just in the process of cooking some supper for whacking that in the pot cosy while Rose goes and has a shower. All the facilities are, well, they're not here actually, thinking about it. The facilities are toilet and washing of cooking gear is here, but unfortunately the shower and having a good wash, which we really desperately need because we smell and have sweated like buckets today, is actually half a mile away back down in Sea Toller. But it is included in the £14 per head campsite fee. So Rose has gone to make the use of that, and she'll come back and give me a report, and I will go and have my turn and change into some decent, normal smelling clothes. Presumably, if we get somewhere tomorrow with a decent campsite, we'll hopefully do a wash then and wash everything up. As I mentioned earlier, it has been tough going today. Going down the side of Ennerdale Water, that was more of a surprise than we thought. And then we bumped into Alan, another solo Wainwright crosser, if you like, and he had taken the northern shore, and he said it was piece of cake, and there was even picnic spaces along the way. So yeah, completely a different experience. Although the route was probably slightly longer, it was definitely possibly more rewarding. Anyway, he was as fresh as a daisy, and we met him as the trail left the head of the water and joined onto the forestry track, and that was just tortuous, absolutely tortuous. But again, I've covered that before. Apart from the two young Americans that came flying past us earlier on in the day, we haven't seen any of the people that we started with a couple of days ago. So unlike the initial impression that we would be seeing the same people over and over again, actually, I think it would be fair to say they soon disappeared. We've all got our different timings and different routes, I presume. So consequently, we haven't seen them again, which is a great shame, because I would love to hopefully catch up with them at a later stage, possibly, and gather their thoughts and experience on the walk itself. But certainly, if there's one thing about doing a podcast of the walk and sharing each section or things that happen with you, the listener, it is completely different from the romantic view that a lot of those videos that you see on YouTube about the Wainwright coast to coast. They don't seem to show the gritty bits, so it'd be worthwhile keeping that in mind if you plan to do it. Of course, it's a national trail, or designated national trail, next year, apparently, if it all goes to plan. And I hope the infrastructure and some of the supporting things start to take hold, really, because it is noticeable that it is fairly sparse for certain support services. And of course, those people that are doing the baggage transfer for those who are walking with a smaller rucksack, they are charging very handsomely for that service, which is out of our pocket anyway. Although I have to say, getting up that climb today, it did make me wonder if I could afford it. It would make a completely different experience. But hey, we're hardcore.
Although the campsite at Sea Toller was quiet and comfortable, we didn't sleep particularly well. The fatigue was beginning to build, leaving us with a general sense of weariness you can probably hear in our voices. Day three brought two long climbs, and by the time we reached our chosen camping spot, late in the evening, we were almost on our knees. Looking back, aside from carrying the extra weight, our other mistake was lack of research. We'd wrongly assumed that being such a well-known tourist area, there would be a supportive network of supplies and facilities along the way. As it turned out, that wasn't quite the case.
Good morning. We are now beginning day three. And we left this morning Sitola Farm campsite at about 9 o'clock or thereabouts. Another pleasant day, but the wind has taken a cooler temperature. And the forecast is basically that weather will be changing over the next couple of days. And you sort of feel it in the wind, as they say. Sitola campsite was fine. Had an unusual situation where the showers were separated from the camping area by a good,
200 metres up the rest, road, over a hill.
And the rest, but they were good showers, to be fair. And then we went, had something to eat on the campsite, some of our food that we brought. And then we went to the pub, which the name of which escapes me completely.
The Yew Tree.
Oh yeah, that's right, the Yew Tree. And only to find that it is owned, and has always been owned, by the descendants of Mr. Parks from Honister Slate Mine. I realised that he'd had a helicopter accident and died some years ago, and the lady at the bar, who I understand to be the partner of one of his sons, the sons at the time were too young to take over the Honister Slate Mine. But now they're obviously much more come of age. I mean, that was 2008, the event was, so. And I think he died shortly after that, actually. So, anyway, the pub's been completely refurbished and it's really lovely. Food's great, very characterful, and a very warm welcome. So, that was an enjoyable couple of hours while we recharged phones and checked maps and did such things. We've topped the packs up with water to start the day. I must admit, it would be nice to find a cafe or two to get a good breakfast, as it were.
The problem is, we came through a lovely, in Borrowdale, came through a lovely little walker's tea room called Flock Inn, which I thought was quite good. But, you know, it doesn't open till later. And most of them close at four. So by the time we're coming in and going out of places, it's either too early or too late.
Yeah. So they're catering for the day tourist, really, rather than coast-to-coasters. So there's a business here to waiting for somebody if they want to be entrepreneurial. Anyway, so today we are heading over the top, another big climb down to Grasmere, and then we'll assess in Grasmere again our state, whether we tackle the next climb. So the stage would be, if we did it in completely, would be over to
Patterdale.
Over to Patterdale. But I think that might be pushing it too far today. So we're do Grasmere, and then there's a couple of wild camping spots sort of outside of Grasmere which I wouldn't mind aiming for, a lake, a tarn, and hopefully setting up there. But let's see how we get on over the going over the top today. We're doing the lovely Bridleway walk along the riverside at the moment before we start the climb. So, like yesterday, let's see how we feel once we started the climb. But this is it for real. Well, what a morning that turned out to be. 12:30 now, and we finally made it over the top of Linen Crag. My God, I don't know why, but for some reason I thought the Lake District was going to be slightly easier than Scotland. I don't know why, not really been here before, but those climbs are absolute beasts. And certainly, we've had lovely weather today. God, it would have been awful trying to do that in pouring rain or obviously winter. Well, it's getting on in the day now. It's 5:30 and it's been another one of tough climbs, which we'll probably go into later because I want to record this and then crack on if I can. But we went into Grasmere. I'll tell you about the climb and the drop later. Went into Grasmere, were actually really welcomed by the cafe shop right in the middle of town, the name of which escapes me. I didn't really look at it. Frieda and Joe. Frieda and Joe, we'll call it that. And they'd stopped serving food. Again, it was only four-ish, but they made an exception for us, and we had a fantastic, really thick sandwich and loads of extras and
ciabatta
sandwich, and what was the other thing? We had toast cake. Toasted tea cakes and scones and butter and cream and jam. Living off the land. So that was great. So we stayed there a good hour or so, really basically recovering. We were shot. We've made some mistakes on this one, and we will be honest to admit those and pass any advice on to people perhaps a bit later on when we're in camp. Talking of which, we're at the moment heading up the track out of Grasmere towards Patterdale. Today's route should supposedly take us to Patterdale, but it was 19 miles, I think it was, and the estimate was 9 hours, and I can see why. It's pretty tough going on the legs, to say the least, no matter what weight you're carrying. But I saw in one of the videos a Greasdale Tarn, I think they call it, and that looked like a perfect wild camping spot. So we're aiming for that tonight, and once we're settled, we'll hopefully do a little piece before we crash out completely, because once again, we are shattered. And on that note, just to say, this is much tougher than we anticipated. Much, much tougher. So if you are thinking of doing it, then plan your days appropriately or give yourself more time. But perhaps we'll talk about the practicalities a bit later on, once we've got past the hard bit, which is the Lake District. And once we've done day four, things, and we get down to Shap or being well, things should hopefully be a bit easier on the feet, and then maybe we can catch up some time, because we've only given ourselves 12 days to do this. Right, on that note, it's still sunny evening, there are a few clouds in the sky, forecast is still dry tonight, there's a cool breeze, I want to get moving before I cool down too much. So I will catch you, all being well, a bit later. Halfway up the climb from Grasmere to Grisdale Tarn, and this silence is just magnificent. We're chasing the sun at the moment. The sun is just about to start to go down over the hills, and we're looking down at the view at the moment of Grasmere and the lake beyond it and the distant mountains, some of which we've come over. Earlier on we saw Honister Slate Mine track right at the very top in the distance. But these paths, this path in particular actually, is great underfoot because it's grass, short grass. There's been some stone, but short grass. All the other paths so far have just been real ankle breakers. But Rosa just pointed out that in Scotland, when they want you to go up a steep bank, or a steep hill, or a steep mountainside, they tend to zigzag the paths up, which makes a lot more sense. In the Lake Districts, they just go straight up, and it's an absolute killer on the legs.
It's like a staircase, or going up a ladder. It's tough. Especially when you're having to watch your feet all the time, because they're rolling on small pebbles or big rocks, or you have to watch where you put your foot between rocks coming down gullies, and it has been... You have to really concentrate.
Yeah. I mean, if we didn't have poles, I think it'd be a different matter. It's surprising the number of people that don't have poles.
Yeah, ankle breaker. In fact, one of the girls we walked down with, a lovely lady called Anita, went absolutely flying, tripped over a stone and went flying. If she'd had a pole, she wouldn't have done.
So we've talked her into buying a pair of poles. So, as I say, we're pretty well halfway up and taking a moment's rest, because our lungs were just bursting at the seams again. It is tough. It's about a 1 in 4 that we're going up at the moment, as opposed to a 1 in 1 yesterday. But it's equally tough. But I can see the crag above my head now. And we just got to get to the top of the crag, zigzag the path over the top of the rock face, and then hopefully we go through the gully, and we should see Grisdale Tarn right in front of us, and then find a pitch for the night, which, if we keep our fingers crossed, should stay like this. But as I say, I want to try and do a bit of a review a bit later on about some of those climbs and things. So we'd better get back to it, otherwise we won't get any camp at all. The time is marching on. It's, what, 6:15 now. The peace and solitude at Grisdale Tarn. It's now 8 p.m. I arrived here probably just after 7, something like that. And we're now set up nicely on a slightly raised mound, staring out at the dead flat tarn. We're out of the wind, and looking around, I can see probably 3-4 other wild campers. Far enough away to not quite make out what they've got. I think the one on the far side's got a Durston. Alan's here, he's got his little Nemo, so he's tucked round the corner. And just as I started to record this, I noticed a cyclist had turned up, which was pretty impressive. So presumably from Patterdale, so no doubt he's looking for a pitch as well. But there's certainly plenty of space to go around, and plenty of midges to go around too. So they're sort of slowly invading our area. But I did say I'd try and do a little bit of a recap on the day, because it's been, pretty heavy going. So let's just go back to where we started. See Toller Bridge campsite. Headed from there around 9 o'clock, I think. We never seem to get earlier than 9, although we should do. We probably will do tomorrow, to be honest. And that bypassed round Rosthwaite, and we then started that long, long climb up towards the top of Linen Crag. And again, that was just long and tortuous. It's more, not so much the distance we can handle, it's the rocking and rolling of these stones underfoot. It doesn't matter whether you're wearing approach shoes or boots. It is exhausting. And obviously, we were being self-critical. We're carrying too much, really. I would say, if somebody's going to do this camping, go ruthless on your lightweight. But be prepared for good weather and bad weather, because we've got bad weather forecast in 24 hours' time. And everything that we're carrying, because obviously we're just wearing shorts and T-shirt at the moment, we're just cussing our warmer, thicker clothes and our waterproof clothes, because it's just dead weight, but they may come into their own. So hence the reason that we've invested in carrying those. So up and over we went, and then there was this long descent down Grasmere Common, down to Grasmere. And again, very, very stony underfoot. And although Fix the Fells are doing a cracking job in sort of putting bigger slabs and stepping stones where possible to stop the erosion on the hillside, it does mean that no two steps are the same. So whether you're going up or coming down, it's not like walking up and down stairs. It's a broken step, so it's very easy to overstretch yourself and overstep, and that's when you start to have accidents, particularly when you're carrying weight and you're going off balance. We eventually made it down to Grasmere and headed into Grasmere, and as I think I reported earlier on, we found a very helpful cafe, and they were just enthusiastic about what we were doing. So whether we stood out as being older characters doing this sort of thing or not, I don't know, but they're very helpful. We spent £30 there with cheer butter sandwich, some salad, some coleslaw, two cold drinks, and then a jug of water, and they topped our waters up and stuff as well. So we were there a good hour, and that recharged our batteries, as we knew it would. Because we started the day. Day three is always the hardest day when anybody's hiking. Most people would know that. That's the day where your body's really started to complain. All the aches and pains are coming through. You're just fed up with the weight that you're carrying. And if you've got the weather against you or other circumstances against you, it can be quite demoralising. So both of us admitted that really the beginning of today and that first climb, we were just like, oh, I'm fed up with this. But here we are, having had a full stomach at Grasmere. We set out to go towards Patterdale, and then once again climbed one of these famous long, straight climbs, 1-in-4 climbs, up Little Tongue, I think it's called. over to Grisdale Tarn, and I knew there would be fairly good wild camping here because I'd seen it on a couple of videos, and I thought there's a spot there. And we've been lucky with the weather. The sun is still setting slowly, lighting up the far side of Grisdale Tarn, and that's up towards Willy Wife Moor. Some great names here. On the right-hand side of the tarn is Dolly Wagon Pike, and on the left-hand side is Seat Sandal. And we are located down by some stepping stones on the northeast corner of the tarn. But as I say, there are other people dotted around the circumference. So tomorrow, yeah, we've got to be careful tomorrow. Tomorrow could we either make a really, really big day, because we've got to get down to Patterdale, probably do a little bit of resupply there as well, and then work our way once again to the last climb over the knot towards Shap. So we'll see how we feel in the morning and what our enthusiasm is like. So this is us signing off at 8:10, looking at a beautiful scene over Grisdale Tarn, a blue sky, not a breeze in the air, or not a breeze affecting us, surrounded by midges, and feeling completely and utterly knackered. I'd say that was the other thing that I did want to mention, and again, I think I mentioned it earlier on. It is tough. This is tough. Even if you were walking with day packs, some of these climbs are brutal. And a lot of the people that obviously we meet and pass on the way that are carrying little day packs also agree that it's come as a bit of a surprise. But having said that, it makes it more rewarding when you get to the top.
I was quite surprised too. I mean, quite early on, just this morning, there was a little section where there was like a little rock face and they had a chain across, and you said, oh, Via Ferrata. Quite tough scrambles with some loose rock, which when you've got a heavy pack on the back and you've got poles, there was a few tricky moments. You really had to focus, really concentrate. Yeah.
But overall, are you feeling better than you were this morning?
Knackered.
More positive,
more
I mean.
More positive. No, I mean, yesterday, I think first thing this morning, setting off that long climb with the rolling feet and the shale and the rocks and trying to think where to put your feet between rocks and not break your ankle, it was just hard work. You had to really stop. If you looked at the view walking along, you'd fall over. So you had to make a point of stopping to look at the view and look back and appreciate where you were, because you're having to focus so much on your footwork. So that was a bit despondent, wasn't it? But I mean, sitting here now with the sun setting and the reflection of the surrounding hills in the tarn, it's just beautiful.
Thanks for listening to this episode. I hope it's giving you a sense of what it's like to walk the Wainwright Coast to Coast route and a taste of what it feels like to be self-supported on a long-distance UK national trail. There are plenty of other long-distance hikes and routes in our podcast back catalogue, so feel free to go back and explore any of the other mini-series like this covering walks across the UK by us and others. In the next episode, we'll take you through day 4 over Angletarn and down to Haweswater Reservoir. And then day 5, when exhaustion forced us to make a tough decision about reaching Kirkby Stephen while keeping to our strict schedule. Until then, take care, and of course, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear or see more from our extensive free library, please visit theoutdoorsstation.co.uk.